prophet Isaiah. More than 600 years before the birth of Jesus, God said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through to 7. "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I simply called my message this morning, Christmas 2005. It seems to me that only a great gift can solve a great disaster. You've been reminded, 1 year ago tomorrow, there was a massive tsunami in the Indian Ocean. You might remember the events that followed that. I'm thinking especially of the massive donations that came so quickly from so many. That's a year ago. I saw a report just the other day. As far as I could understand what they were saying, there was one man with his family who just got the keys of their new house in this past week out there in Banda Aceh in Indonesia. But he also said, as he received it with smiles wreathing his face to begin with, tears soon came when he held out the one thing that he had left after that disaster. It was a broken pair of spectacles that belonged to his daughter that was taken from him on that day. That's all. Half a pair of spectacles with the case. You can't put your life back together yourself after that. It was a massive disaster. You need help. You need a gift. And those who gave, perhaps some of you, they did so because at the time they reckoned it out and reckoned that it was worth it. The spirit of generosity became evident. It was displayed. I'm saying to you this morning that when we see Christmas again, 2005, we ought to see, because of the greatness of the gift, we ought to see how great the disaster was that brought that gift. The great disaster that we, not just in Southeast Asia and the quarter of a million people that lost their lives then, but to see the disaster that the whole human race is in every day of our lives. And some will turn around to me and say, "But how can you say that?" Compare that with the destruction that was wrought by that tidal wave. How can you say, "Look at ourselves, look at yourself, look at your neighbor. We're all well dressed, we're comfortable, we've got nice houses, we are doing very well, thank you." How can you say we're in a disaster zone and the greatest of disasters? There are people who will challenge me with that question. But I insist, we are in the great disaster zone as a race to the very ends of the world. You remember at the same time that billions of pounds flowed in for Southeast Asia, some of the charities started to ring alarm bells. And they said, while all of this is happening because it's so obvious, there are other things that are going on all the time. They've been going for 20 years and we're doing nothing about it. The money that should be going is not going to help them. Africa. Last week, northern Uganda. Awful conditions. Cobham is a town just recently, and this should be of interest to you, set up a partnership with a little town in the north of Uganda to try and help them. Perhaps it's something that we can get involved with ourselves as a Cobham church. Awful conditions. Atrocities being committed by one man against another. And this goes on year in, year out. And still, they tell us last week, the United Nations has not recognized it as a disaster. We're being reminded that it was 20 years ago, just around about now, that Live 8 was done in order to try and raise funds. And they did raise millions for Ethiopia. 20 years ago, and Ethiopia is still in much the same condition. What I'm coming at is that although it's not so obvious as that tsunami a year ago, it's there. Because it's always with us doesn't make it any less of a disaster. It doesn't have to be something dramatic. That kind of disaster is always with us. And no less a disaster for that. And isn't that a perfect picture of sin? You see, sin has been with us for 2,005 years. Indeed, it's been with us for every year, every day, every second of man's existence since the day of Adam in the garden, however many years ago that was. The greatest disaster of all. Was it the tsunami? Why does the world break up and groan like it did that day? The Bible tells us it's because of sin. Creation is groaning for the day of redemption. It's sin that brings in or brought in and keeps the instability of this world. It's the original. We talk about the original and best. This is far from it. It's the original and worst. It's the root of all evil. All that is evil that goes on around us, all that's wrong about this world is because of sin. And that's your problem, it's my problem. That's our disaster zone. But we say Happy Christmas. And I do want to speak not just of disaster, but of the gift. The great gift that deals with that disaster. It's a great gift that exposes that disaster for what it is and enables us to deal with it. And I do want to talk, therefore, this morning about the great gift of Christmas as well as the great disaster. And I do it deliberately in that order. I want to talk about the great gift. Because I think that mostly we only see how big the disaster is when we stop to think how big the gift is. When we stop to think how big the solution that is required. You may have had certain problems happening around the house from time to time. And you think you can find the answer, and you get involved there, you do a bit of DIY, you start to try and fix it, and you discover it gets bigger and bigger and bigger once you open the thing up. It gets out of control, you can't handle it. Do you see how big the gift is? Let us look at that first, to reveal how big the disaster. The great gift. Jesus. The baby, formed as a servant, came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. That's for us. Things have been going on up to that point, much the same as before, much the same as since. But this was to change everything. This son who was to be given. And it seems to have a comprehensive note. The government will be upon his shoulder. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It's beyond the national borders of Israel to whom this son would be given. The government of men. He was the one who was to be wonderful. The definition of wonderful is to be found in him. And a counselor. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. None to compare with him. And that's a reminder that no such person had yet appeared. And nor ever would appear beyond him. This was the one to be given. And it was the zeal of the Lord of hosts who would perform it. He is the gift, not of our work, not of any man's development, not of any man's or human idea. It's the Lord's work. And I ask you this morning, is it marvelous in your eyes? Is it not with Paul the indescribable gift? I know I can't find words to describe how big and great and wonderful the gift of Jesus is. And a finer man than me, Paul, could not describe him. Just go on saying great, a great gift. From this day forward, you will still not match it. Is that great? This gift of God. No words can be found. No words fitting. It's beyond us. So big. It's the God, the one over all, who has given himself. I can't get to grips with God. He is great. And he gave himself. He gave his son. He gave his heart. He gave his love, and God is love. That's how great this gift is. To mankind he gave these things. He gave himself. And he gives himself all these things, not just to a human race as a lump. He gave him to you, if you will believe. It is fitting. It is right that we rejoice at Christmas. This is a truly great gift. And we can rejoice too because, yes, we have a great disaster, but God has turned that to such glory. But don't ever forget that Christmas does not just remind us of God's salvation and his Son coming for that salvation. Christmas is there to remind us of our sin. Our sins. Every one of our sins is an act of rebellion against the loving God. That's the disaster. Why do you need such a great gift? Because we've dug such a hole for ourselves. There is one who is over all. In other words, he is the one who is to be served. And what do? We choose our own way, rebelling against him. And we do live with that, don't we? We go on living with it. It's there. We become accustomed to it. We accustom ourselves to it. I'm reminded when we talk about disasters of those poor folk in Florida. How many hurricanes hit them in the hurricane season? Now, how can those folks stay there? They go back again. How can they go when they're battered around so much. We hear stories of domestic abuse, and it's the same thing going back when they're battered. But we accommodate sin. And so often, like it seems with many who do go back to places like Florida or other parts of around the Gulf where they are battered, the people in Banda Aceh, they're building houses right where their last ones were taken away. When we expect almost that something similar is going to happen again, still we go back. What a picture of sin. We go back because we think there's something still that's good about it that outweighs the bad. But with sin, where is the good side? How can there be anything about sin and sinfulness that can be called good? When the all-knowing, all-wise God has said, no, I need to send my son to get you out of there. How can we do it? How can we think like that? We're imbalanced. It's a craziness. God has done his utmost to come down and say, I'm going to pull you out of there. And we say, no, I like it here. And it's not just his choice. That's why we read in Luke chapter 22. What did Jesus say? Lord, if it be, Father, if it be your will, don't apply this to me. And the story goes on. Nothing changed. He went to the cross and he gave his life for sinners. If there was any way around sin without Jesus dying on the cross, God would have done it. Jesus would have done it. If there was any other way, why did Jesus go through that suffering? And if he didn't need to go through that suffering, why did he need to live? We didn't need him to teach us those things that he taught. We should have understood all the scriptures before. Not just that alone. He is far more than a teacher. He came as a baby. Christmas those years ago. Because he had to die. He had to give himself. Because our disaster was so big. Christmas was no choice for God. It had to be done. To express his love for you and for me. Because you and I, and our fellow human beings, we have made such a thorough job of the disaster of sin. And we've papered it over. We've pretended it's not there. Take the example in current affairs. If trade justice is so bad, the World Trade Organization has just fiddled while millions die. We patch up after human atrocities, and we find them happening all over again somewhere else, not long after. Why Christmas? When it comes every year, ask yourself, why Christmas? Because it was the only thing that could ever make any substantial difference to the human race. To anything. What is most important? We've got something coming around in just a week from now, haven't we? How many people are going to make that infamous resolution to go on a diet? But the Bible says it is given to man once to die. And after that, the judgment. That seems just a touch bigger than a diet. And there's only one thing that can make a difference to that. That's what God did. That's what this is about. That's why we read not just those first few words of chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 6, to tell us wonderful things, that the child is born, the son is given. Why is he given? Because he needs to take the government of the human race on himself, and he needs to order this kingdom and establish it with judgment and justice, which has not been there before and without him. Our debts are so deep. The wages of sin, what sin deserves, is death itself. Our debts are so deep that his heights must be so great. And our worst, friends, this is the joy of Christmas. Our worst, this immense disaster, which we ignore. He didn't. And our worst, he's turned to the most glorious. Taste of the great gift. To remind you of the great disaster, I just want to close. I hope you will forgive me my passion this morning. This is great. This is immense. I hope you will understand that I need to paint the picture of gloom, and that the church does indeed, and we have neglected it for too long. Why do I need to do this? Because I enjoy it? Those who know me better would know the answer to that. But I need to, in a strange way, I need to enjoy it. But for the right reason, don't get me wrong. I can only enjoy thinking of this in the true sense of enjoyment. Only because it is that very thing, that gloom, that disaster, which can now be left behind. I find it interesting that this evening I hope to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, which talks about the Old Testament sacrifices as a year-by-year reminder of sin. I want to ask you to understand that Christmas also needs to be a year-by-year reminder of sin, but in a very different way, because those sacrifices in the Old Testament could not remove that sin. Yet this is talking about the salvation that only comes because of sin, but it's the salvation that came that does draw out of that sin. This salvation is awfully real, awfully real, astoundingly real, because it does come from a dreadful reality. Christmas, yes, rejoice in Christmas. But that rejoicing is going to be a very poor imitation of the real thing, unless you recall sin. And that Christmas is about sin. Jesus was about sin. Why was he called Jesus? Because he would save his people from their sins. It's about sin, and about that, the salvation from that sin. In the year 2005, a week from now, 2006, that salvation is signaled here as well, because we're counting from the days of Jesus. Your number line of 2005 numbers means nothing without Jesus at its beginning. Do you remember Jesus? Next time you write a check and you write 2005, remember Jesus. Next time you write a letter with a date, remember Jesus. Next time you write a report at work and you write the date, remember Jesus. That one piece, and take that away, and everything collapses. But it's because of sin. And you write 2005, remember sin, your sin. And remember the answer to that sin. God's own Son. That zeal of the Lord that performed it and gave his Son. Let Christmas, let 2005, 2006 remind you of that immense, indescribable gift of salvation. Yes, be troubled. We're not troubled enough over the disaster area that we live in, our own lives. But approach it with hope as well, that it may be delivered. But seek that hope yourself first. Your deliverance. Why did Jesus come? A gift that is beyond every imagining, beyond the extremes of this universe. For you. To heal your sin. If you trust that this Son was given not just to us, but for you. May God bless his word. May he bless Christmas to each one of you today. Let us pray together.